About 5 minutes after one on a good Thursday afternoon. Currently some sunshine out there, and we're at 50 degrees. It's our pleasure to welcome along this afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Jane, you're sitting in another Smitty's hot seat there, as John probably mentioned on the other station, WOBL. Jane Miller. Jane's the author of the book, Ordinary Dogs and Their Extraordinary Power to Transform Lives, Their Healing Companions. Well, Jane, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
And Jane, before we talk a little bit about the work that you do, more specifically and in detail, tell us about yourself somewhat. You're an Oberlin College graduate from Philadelphia who decided to stay here in Oberlin.
Yeah, I fell in love with Oberlin, and I ended up getting a full scholarship to go to Case Western Reserve after Oberlin, and I ended up becoming a licensed independent social worker. And I've been in private practice, I've been practicing for about 25 to 30 years, and I've been in private practice for most of that time. And I work, I'm a psychotherapist. And what I really now specialize in and my area of expertise is working with people with severely limited ability to function due to their mental illness. And then when they fit the criteria for a service dog, and I can tell you more about that, I place service dogs with people with mental illness. So these are psychiatric service dogs.
Mm-hmm. And the spectrum or range of mental illness is quite wide and vast, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And I think that's what's so unique about what we do. Most people are familiar with guide dogs and people that have mobility impairments, dogs that help with a mobility impairment, with hearing impairments. Many people are not as familiar with what we call invisible disabilities. Those are seizure alert dogs. Those can be dogs that help with chemical sensitivities, and the dogs that I train, which are psychiatric service dogs. And what's so unique about what we do is that every individual with a psychiatric service dog has different needs. Not every person that is mentally ill has symptoms of maybe eating disorder or obsessive-compulsive disorder or post-traumatic stress disorder. So our dogs are individually trained for that specific person's symptoms. So one dog might be trained for someone who has an eating disorder, and they might go and retrieve food for them every few hours if they suffer from anorexic traits or symptoms. And another person might be an overeater, and the dog might block them from going to the refrigerator too often. Or they might have symptoms of obsessive compulsive disorder, where the dog will disrupt them from whatever they're doing at a lengthy period of time. Some dogs are trained to wake people up from their nightmares if they have post-traumatic stress disorder. The list goes on and on. So it's very specialized.
Uh-huh, very good. And do you yourself as a psychotherapist specialize in any of those mental illnesses, or do you cover the wide range?
I cover the wide range.
Oh, everything.
I see it all. Many of my clients are what we call trauma survivors. They're survivors of either incest or other abusive histories. I see people that really have all kinds of difficulties, whether it's bipolar, depression, and all kinds of symptoms. So it's a wide range. And all the dogs that I place are shelter dogs, and I collaborate with the Berea Animal Rescue Friends, and I work with their program with the inmates locally at the Grafton Reintegration Center, training the dogs to be not only more adoptable, but when they have the potential to be service dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a win-win situation. We're saving the lives of dogs, as the dogs are also saving the lives of the human being by helping them live a more productive, independent, freer life.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite? I know you have two golden retrievers,
Yes, I do.
Do you have a favorite dog or those that may be better to be a companion therapy dog?
Well, these aren't therapy dogs.
Okay.
These are service dogs.
Okay.
But I feel...
And explain the difference.
Yeah, let me explain the difference between a therapy dog and a service dog. A therapy dog, most of us are familiar with dogs that go to nursing homes or maybe go to libraries where they work. They're there to comfort people. They're there to work with a whole group of people. Whereas service dogs, in the mid-1990s, the American Disabilities Act was enacted. And when that was enacted, that changed the whole landscape, which meant that not only people that are blind or have mobility impairments, but those with mental illness were now qualified and covered under the American Disabilities Act if they were severely limited in their ability to function due to mental illness to have psychiatric service dogs. So service dogs are for that one individual that is in, that is disabled. So when you think about it, you would think about guide dogs that help a person that's blind navigate their way through their days. Our dogs help people navigate their way through their days with their mental illness so that, you know, they might really have panic attacks during the day, or they might have social anxiety, or all kinds of different experiences that these dogs are trained tasks that help that person be able to function at a higher level and mitigate the effects of their symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Does a person have to be considered disabled to get a service dog?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And when we say considered disabled, like I said, under the American Disabilities Act, it really specifies that you have to be severely limited in your ability to function. And I'm going to read one thing.
Physically and mentally?
Well, for the dogs I train, you need to be mentally ill. So I'm going to read a little piece that helps people know what I'm specifically saying. In order to qualify as disabled under the Americans with Disabilities Act, your emotional or psychiatric condition must, in quotes, substantially limit one or more major life activities, such as caring for oneself, speaking, breathing, concentrating, thinking, eating, communicating, sleeping, and working. Further, you must be regarded as having, and there must be a record of you having, such an impairment. So there are very strict regulations that, yes, you must fit those criteria. And many of the clients that come to me fit the criteria, which is why we place then psychiatric service dogs with them. And the book really that I wrote, Healing Companions, Ordinary Dogs and Their Extraordinary Power to Transform Lives, goes into great detail of not only the training process, but how family members might react to having a dog enter the home, how to help your dog with stress, if it's experiencing stress, because these are working dogs. And what we have found is that what I teach is stress reduction relaxation techniques to my clients, and they learn how to do these techniques with their dogs. And so they learn how to meditate next to their dog, which helps their dog relax as well. And that can be very beneficial. But most important for you to understand is these dogs are trained to, like I said, mitigate the effects of that individual's symptoms. And everybody has different symptoms. So we not only train these dogs to deal with being out in the public access, we call it. So like going into a movie theater, these dogs have to learn not to pick up popcorn. And they can't be what we call hoovers. They have to learn how to tuck their tail, which is something most dogs don't know how to do or aren't taught to do, because if they're in a restaurant and their tail is sticking out, it's going to get it stepped on.
In the way,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we have skills that we teach these dogs that are very specialized.
I would say so. Very good. Now, does a dog, to be a service dog, does it have to be a purebred dog?
No, like I said, these are all shelter rescue dogs. The dog that I'm working with right now, she just got her third dog, is a Katrina rescue dog. So when we got her, she had very limited skills, and she just was very trainable, and she's a great service dog. And she goes to work with my client every day, and my client, now that she has a service dog, can work full time.
And how does a person who may qualify for a service dog, how do they go about in getting one?
Great question. Well, the first thing is they'd contact me. Okay. And if you would like, I can share. The best way to contact me is jmiller, M-I-L-L-E-R, at Oberlin, O-B-E-R-L-I-N, .net, or 1-800-457-0345. We have a nonprofit 501c3 called Healing Companions Incorporated. They can go to our website and learn all about service dogs and psychiatric service dogs specifically, and see pictures and read articles and really learn all about what we do. The website is www.healing-companions.com. That's healing, healing-companions.com. And there's loads of information on the website. We're always looking for people to volunteer. We're always looking for funding. This is the hardest part about what we do, is because it's so specialized. Unlike every guide dog, pretty much learns the same things of what they need to do and help in the ways in which they help someone with being blind, our dogs are all specifically trained to that individual's needs. So the training process is very specialized and takes a lot of work and a lot of time. And most of the people that really need these dogs don't have the money that it takes to be able to afford this. As well as, when you think about it, our mental health insurance coverage is terrible and does not cover, like, you'll get your wheelchair covered, but you won't get a service dog covered. Mm-hmm. So, there, you know, we're always looking for help, and please feel free to contact me. Every little bit helps, but I'm here to share my knowledge and expertise and let people know more about an option that many people aren't familiar with. Most people are familiar with therapy and psychotherapy and medication, but very few people are aware that a dog can really not only help you get up out of bed in the morning, but be able to function and have a full-time job.
That's a wonderful
and be
thing.
Able to be able to productive.
And as Jane says that, she says that with a smile on her face, right? Makes you very happy, and, mm-hmm. of course, the work you do. Jane, we need to take a little time out. We'll talk some more, excuse me, about the work you do with Jane Miller. Again, talking about service dogs, and again, Jane's the author of the book, Healing Companions, Ordinary Dogs and Their Extraordinary Power to Transform Lives. That, more coming up next.
Attention voters.
We'll check our forecast here. Brought our way by the good people at the Midway Mall in Elyria. They've got it all under one roof, including Dunham Sports. And Dunham Sports has all the right equipment for all the athletes throughout the school year, for the boys and the girls, no matter the sport. Dunham Sports has it all. And so does the Mall in Elyria, all under one roof. Well, partly sunny day, a high of 50, a chance of some rain tonight, hopefully again after the trick-or-treating, our overnight low 41. Tomorrow, though, looks like a rainy one, wet one, and cool, a high of 48, and getting cooler from there before we warm up a little bit next week. Currently, we have partly sunny skies and 50 degrees. And again, our pleasure to be joined by Jane Miller. Jane's an author and psychoanalyst. We're talking about Jane and her work with service dogs. And, Jane, where would you like to go from here? If you'd like to give us maybe a couple of examples of some of the patients, if you will.
Clients.
And, yeah, and clients and of the service dogs that have helped them.
Uh-huh. Well, let me go back to one of my clients. When I met her, was extremely scared to even leave her home, experienced what we call agoraphobia. And her first dog... after her first dog died, the next dog she got was a Katrina rescue dog, and her dog is a fully trained psychiatric service dog, and the dog has trained many different tasks.
What kind of dog is it?
This is a Katrina rescue, so it's a mutt. It's a mixed breed.
Oh, okay.
Complete mixed breed. Mm-hmm. And we try to start with dogs that are between 1.5 to 2 years old. Unlike the guide dog programs where they start with puppies, because most of my clients... They struggle enough with their own lives that starting with a puppy would be overwhelming. They can barely take care of themselves, let alone a little puppy. Mm-hmm. So we get dogs that are about 1.5 to 2 years that have gone through the training in the prison, like I mentioned earlier, with the inmates. And those dogs not only become more adoptable, but the ones that have the potential to be psychiatric service dogs, then I... place with my clients. Like I was saying earlier, we had one that did a meet and greet last week with one of the dogs that has its basic training on and is ready to now be released from prison. That sounds funny. And be able to be adopted. But back to Finola, the Katrina rescue. She was trained many different tasks when this individual first got her. She had severe eating disorder, and Finola would prevent her from overeating by doing a number of things, one of which would be to, when this person was overeating, she would pace. And her dog was trained when she started to pace to go over to her and nudge on her arm and pull on her sleeve to lead her back to a chair so she would sit down and realize that she was stuffing food in her mouth.
How did the dog know when it's time? Because she has to eat.
That's right. She has to eat. But when she was pacing, she'd be overeating. When she would be pacing, she'd be stuffing food in her mouth.
Wow.
So when the dog saw the pacing, the dog knew that something was not right and would lead her to a chair.
Oh, okay.
And then the other thing that the dog was taught to do is this person, when she would overeat, did not like to be stared at. And the dog would sit sit next to her and put its head on her lap and stare at her, and that would stop her from overeating. So now she's finally gotten to the point where she now will go out to a restaurant and eat out in public, and her dog will have her head.
And this is the same woman that was afraid to leave the house?
Yes, she leaves the house. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. She not only leaves the house, but because of her service dog, she now works full time, and she's living a productive life where she now is making money and giving back to society and really making a huge...
Wonderful.
This dog has made a huge impact on her life and made it possible for her to be out in public.
Was she afraid to leave the house because she was overweight?
No, well, she was overweight, but that wasn't why she was afraid. She was a severe trauma survivor, and she had been raped when she was young, and she was also an incest survivor, so being out in the world was pretty terrifying. So her dog has been trained not only to help with her eating disorder, but also to help with her panic attacks. So when she's about to enter a panic attack, the dog will paw her and nudge her and lead her out of that building so that she's no longer affected by that panic attack. She also gets what we call, she feels suffocated when people get too close to her. She has hypervigilance. She's always watching for someone to come out and hurt her. And the dog is trained to stand beside her, in front of her, or behind her. So if she's in an aisle at a grocery store, the dog is preventing people from getting too close to her.
Is there any way, with the help of that dog, that she may be able to overcome that?
We say overcome, what happens is the dogs help the person helps the symptoms, that the effects of these symptoms be less large, less
prominent,
difficult, less prominent, less difficult to cope with, so that she can function. She still has the symptoms, but the dog helps mitigate the effects of these symptoms.
Okay.
So, you know, what's neat is watching over time, and this is another piece of why what we do is so specialized, because, like, her severe eating disorder is not as severe, and she used to have what we call obsessive compulsive disorder, where she'd be sitting there at the computer working for hours and hours and hours and then getting mad at the keyboard and the computer, and the dog would then lead her away from the computer. She doesn't have those symptoms as much, or very rarely. And so the symptoms change over time, so the needs of what we need to train these dogs to do changes over time. So right now, her dog that I'm talking about right now that works full-time with her is getting ready for retirement. She's getting older, and, you know, she's getting more tired. And we already have another dog that is being trained that already was trained at the prison. And so when I say trained at the prison, it was trained the basic obedience, sit, stay, calm, heel. But now is being trained what we call the public access, like I had mentioned earlier, and the task training. And that dog will then take over for the last dog. So we always plan ahead because, you know, we need to be prepared because we never know how long the dogs will live or how long they'll be able to function and be a working dog. So when they get a little older, we then get another dog to follow.
Well, I would think so because of this one particular woman you're talking about.
Yes.
Without that dog,
she'd be lost.
And it would be terrible.
Yes.
Jane, we're running short on time, unfortunately. It's been very interesting, and we appreciate all the information you've given us here.
Oh, my pleasure.
Is there anything you wanted to mention, you know, that you haven't so far?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to recognize is that, like I said, all the medication in the world, all the therapy in the world doesn't get you up out of bed in the morning, but a dog does. And in this cold weather, you're going to put your clothes on. And many people struggle with just activities of daily life. Mm-hmm. And a dog can be so empowering and so capable of helping you to live a more productive, independent, freer life. And I just want people to know that there are options out there for them and to please contact me. And like I said earlier, if you can help in any way possible, volunteering, sending money. We have on our website a donation page where people can make donations in honor of a family member, a dog, a pet, a cat, a horse, whatever, and really support us with the work we're doing, because it really makes a huge impact on people's lives.
Well, it sure does, very much so. Yeah. Wonderful work that you do.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, sure. We're getting to know you a little bit, and certainly the wonderful work that you do and the people that you help.
Thanks so much.
Thank you much. Jane Miller, again, Jane Miller, psychoanalyst and the author of the book, Healing Companions, Ordinary Dogs and Their Extraordinary Power to Transform Lives. How can they get a copy of the book?
Yes.
Well, I haven't asked you that.
Yeah, that's a great question. Amazon, they can go to Amazon.com. They can get it at local bookstores. It's everywhere. It's a published book by New Page Books, and it's available in stores everywhere in this area. And Amazon is probably the easiest way to get it. People like Amazon. You can go to what's called Amazon Smiles, and you can not only order the book, but you can support Healing Companions Incorporated through Amazon Smiles, which is a way to order things through Amazon while a portion of the proceeds of whatever you spend goes to Healing Companions Incorporated.
Mm-hmm, that's great.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Jane. Very good. Jane Miller with us here on the Cool Cat this afternoon, 128th, and we'll come back at some point. We'll have some more Halloween songs. We'll take a look at our broadcast.